Shema Moshe Leimer. And the Rebbein Shlom spoke to Moshe saying, Daber al B'nai Yisrael, speak to the B'nai Yisrael, V'yikhu Truma, and they should take from each Truma, V'yayis Kalish Asher Yivdenu Liboy, anyone whose heart is willing to donate, Tikhu as Trumasi, you should take my Truma. So it says, V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe Leimer, Daber al B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't say Tzavis B'nai Yisrael, Command of B'nai Yisrael, or Emor al B'nai Yisrael. It doesn't say that. It says Daber al B'nai Yisrael. So the Baal HaTurim points out over here that Daber al B'nai Yisrael is a lotion of enticing and convincing and appeasing them. To say it in a soft way that will make them want to do it. Similarly, you find by Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Yomer Elokeich, when Hashem says, comfort, comfort my nation, Dabru Alev Yerushalayim. Dabru is a softer way of talking, to appease, to bring close. So here also the Lashon Dabru al B'nai Yisrael is a Lashon of appeasing them and making them feel good. Why is that? It's up to Baal HaTurim. Because it involves losing money. When it comes to losing money, you have to appease them. And the Medrash says, Amar Rav Avohu, Mishkin, the Kapara li Yisrael, Madach to make a Mishkan, which was an honor and it was a Kapara for Yisrael, it says Daber, and you have to appease them. Kavachayma, can you imagine what's going to happen to the Goyim that take our money away with force and they steal it? Can you imagine what a Chumri Dikaver it is? If they're given a Dabba for our own sake, we have to be appeased. Kavachayma, when it's taken away from us with force, Kavachaymer, what's going to be the chiv that the goyim are going to have? So the Svarim ask a question. Daber al B'nai Yisrael, you have to appease the B'nai Yisrael. Klal Yisrael went through Mitzrayim. They saw tremendous nisim, the ten malachos, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. And they were zeichet to an Ashirus Muflegas. They were zeichet to an unbelievable Ashirus. Medrash tells us that each one of them left Mitzrayim with 80 Choshev HaMoirim that were laden with silver, with gold, with all kinds of jewelry. And they saw that all of the Haftachas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were Mekuyim. So they were very wealthy, It's like giving away a little Nedava to the base. I mean, this is not really much. Kal V'Chomer, they saw all the Nisim and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them. He gave them Brachet. And how building a Mishkan is going to be for their own Teyelas. And furthermore, the altar of Kalmirsk, a fellow goes over to him, he gives you $1 million. And then a while later he says, can you give a $10 donation for such and such? And you say, no, you need appeasement. Of course I'll give it to you. You're the one that made me rich. Look at Chila. So what's the pshat over here? Daber, and as a lashon of Dabru Alevi Yerushalayim, you have to talk to them to appease them. So the Vilna Gaon says, you see from over here the koyach of the Yetzer Hara. You see how great the koyach of the Yetzer Hara is. And Befrat, the Sfarim say, when it comes to money, money is a Yetzer Hara that could blind in a way that we can't imagine. It's beyond our understanding of how right money could blind a person. You can get it from Atana, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can see that there's Hashgacha. But when you have the money in your hand, it's a hard thing to part with. L'maisa that Yetzer Hara, it blinds the person. He's not able to see straight. Chazal say, Hashoichid Ya'aver Enei Pikchim Yisali V'Divrei Tzadikim. Bribery, it blinds even the greatest of Tzadikim. So when a person has money, he is not able to see straight. I, Hashem, gave it to you. I, you saw the Nisan. I, the Beis Hamikdash, is for your Teyelas. Makes no difference. To part with money is one of the most difficult things in the world. I remember Shalom Shvadron said over a Maise, he was a very wealthy fellow in Litha that was zeichet to his son-in-law, a Talmud Chacham, Godel Ma'id. That was the fellow became ill. And this guy would not pay the doctor's bills. Would not. He says, what's a Maise? My daughter's Isaac, you know, what's it got to do with me? You know, he's his own man now. Why should I tell him, Shaita Sheva Elam, you have such a son? It's not my problem. When this fellow's wife was Nifter, so his son, who was not much of a bigger Chacham than his father, one of his buttons fell off right next to the Niftar, and she was lying on the floor. So he rolled her over to pick up his butt. From Shaita Shiva, what are you doing? That's such a bizarre for you. He says, my button fell off. I need my button. That's the pshat. Someone that was brought up with such a chinuch that money is the, you know, is the beginning and end of everything. So he doesn't see straight. His button fell off. So this is what he has to do. You know, money is able to blind the person. Ad kidei kach that in this circumstance over here, it has to be Dabar al B'nai Yisrael, speak to the B'nai Yisrael and appease them. I think the Vilna Gaon says the Pshat and other Musas from the ear to it, that money is a special kayach of the Eitzahara. V'yikuli, Rashi says, V'yikuli Truma, Li Lishmi. And the Rashi says again, Kalisha Sheyivenu Liboy Loshin Nidav. V'loshin Rotsin Toiv, it has to be an inner urge to be able to give. So the question is, why does the Torah stress over here this Nedivus Alev by the Truma of the Mishkan more than all other mitzvahs? All other mitzvahs also have to have Kavan Malushma. And here, Bedavka doesn't say many other mitzvah. There's a Shaila by other mitzvahs, if Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana, Mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana. But it doesn't say Befevish in the Torah, it certainly doesn't. And here, the Yikuli Lishmi, it has to be done L'shem Mi, and it has to be done with Nedivus Alev. What is the Pshat? So, is Hagoyin HaTzadik and Rodri Yosef Karnovsky, Mashgiach in Gateshead, he brings down the Dubna Magid. The Dubna Magid asks a question. This whole business of Zohar, a Chesed, and a Choshes with precious diamonds, it's a little bit of a strange thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs silver and gold and precious diamonds. And Adarabah, we know by Yidden, we know that Adarabah, we put the stress on Ruchnias, and Gashmi is the good things like Zohar, Chesed, Adarabah. We're not supposed to make a big thing out of it. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a big thing out of it. They should give Zohar, Chesed, and expensive stones. What is the pshat? So the Dubna Magid says that in order for the Shechina to rest in Klal Yisrael has a tremendous urge, has to have a tremendous urge to bring that Shechina down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our silver, he doesn't need our gold, he doesn't need our precious stones. But Klal Yisrael has to show that they're willing to give up the thing which is most valuable to them to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. Hashem Tzilch, Sfarim say, Hashem Tzilch, Hashem is like your shadow. The way you move, that's the way your shadow moves. The way we move towards Hashem, that is the way Hashem moves towards us. So Hashem said, let me see if you're willing to give up that which is most precious to you. Are you willing to give that up to have my Shechina rest with you? If you're willing to give that up, then the Shechina will rest with you. Not that Hashem needs our kesef. Liat kesef liat zov m'mashem. Hashem said, I own all the kesef and zov anyway. And I gave it to you, so I need that back in return. But if you want the Shechina to dwell amongst you, you have to show that you really want it. You have to show you're willing to give something up for it. And the thing which is most valuable to people, like we said before, is Zohar V'Chesed. And that's why Rashi stresses over here in the Divas Alev, the Yikuli Lishmi. This is not just a Kavana Lishma that you find by all other mitzvahs. It means there has to be a special spirit of donorship because you want the Shechina to come down. And as much as you're willing to give up, that's how much the Shechina will come down towards you. That's why the Torah stresses it over here. I saw a Mevi Dikamaisa this week. I never saw it before. A friend of mine sent it to me. He faxed me this Maisa that was printed up. Pella Dikamaisa. Ponovizhirov, you know, he used to go worldwide collecting money for his yeshiva. And one of the places early on when he first started the yeshiva, he made a dinner in Johannesburg, South Africa. He had ties to South Africa. Made a big dinner. The day after the dinner, they're counting up the envelopes, make his bonus. He opens up an envelope, and he couldn't believe his eyes. His eyes popped out, mamish. There's a check there for an amount beyond his, you know, imagination. There's a signature scribbled there. He can't recognize it, and there's no name or address on the check. Says, who is this Gebir that gave such a mamish shayach in amount? He had to go visit him. He had to thank him profusely. He's like, give a very choshev chelik to the yeshiva. So he goes to the bank and he did some research. It took a couple of days to figure out where the check came from. And he found out the address of this donor, this big Gebir, was 8 hours by train from Johannesburg. He said he wasn't lazy, picked himself up, got on the train, rode 8 hours to this in this city. Then he had to take a taxi, tells the taxi driver, take me to this and this address. Taxi driver drives, he drives to the outskirts of the city, he drives outside, he says, where are you taking me? I'm taking you to the address. They drive far out into the Hicks. They come to a place where it looks forlorn. The houses are mama shacks. Like, who would want to live here? Certainly this beer doesn't live here. The taxi stops in front of a house. He says, here we are. It looked like mama's a barn. It wasn't fit to live in. So Panovich couldn't believe, like, what's going on here, that this beer lives in this house. I mean, where do you get the money from? He says, wait here for me. You know, I'm not sure that this is a wait until I come out. Knocks on the door. A short fellow comes to the door. He has a yarmulke, wearing a yarmulke with a goatee. He says, Shalom Aleichem, Panav Rav, I knew that you were going to come here. Panav Rav is like, what, when, who? Like, why are you living here? If you have so much money to give, what's going on? She says, come in, I'll tell you the whole story. Sits him down, and he says like this. He says, we were 9 siblings. That were raised by our mother. We were Yisaimim. Our mother raised her all by herself. She was an almana. We lived on the outskirts of Panavish. Had no money. We barely had any food. And our mother said we should save the food, not eat everything, and save food. We could save up penny after penny to buy a goat. And we'll be able to sell the milk, and with that we'll have panos. Our mother decided, 9 boys, she has to be mechalek them. She has to give them... Get them a malam. So they bought the goat. They didn't use the... They were hoping that the goat would give milk. And with that, she'd be able to sell the milk to pay the malam. The mice of the goat, it ate a lot, but it didn't produce any milk. 1 month, the second month, the third month, there's no milk. And the malam says, I need to get paid. Wait. When the goat gives milk, your mom is be the first one to be paid. Finally, the malam says, I can't continue like this anymore. I have to feed my own kids. So the mother's standing there crying. What's going to be? You know, what's going to be? It's the chinuch of my kids. She says, you know what? Take the goat as payment. You know, take the goat, it's yours, and let that pay up. Rishlei said it was worth a nice amount of money. Let it pay up, and until it runs out, I want you to teach my kids. So we were left with, you know, without the money for the milk, and we were left without a goat, and we barely had any food. But my mother was the happiest person in the world that she was able to maintain a malamed for us and giving all this up for the sake of Torah. She says, when I heard that the Pandav Rav is building a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, I wanted to follow in the footsteps of my mother. I sold my house. I sold all my belongings. I took the money and I'm giving it to the yeshiva. That's an Adivas Halev. An Adivas Halev that came from the mother. And it was inculcated into her children. How many hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim were in the henna over the years? Thousands of Talmidim passed through Panavish, and a choshev chelik was paid for by this fellow's nechasim. But he told the Panavish Rav Agav, you should know, don't ask me for any more money. This is the last donation I'll be able to give. He was left without anything. You know, but that's the pshat nedivas halev, that person's machshev Torah. Mother was Machshav Torah, gave everything up for it, and it went over to the son. How many thousands of Talmidim she has a chelik in because of that chinuch that she gave her children. That's Trat Kolish Hashayi Ben Res Levi. This week, an interesting thing, a Gabbai in a shul where I davened, Gabbai comes over to me and he shows me an interesting thing. He just opened up the pushkin, the wall of the shul, and he takes out the money. And amidst the dollar bills, there's a little note in pencil. Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, I wish I had money to give to tzedakah, but I don't have money. Please consider it as if my nedivas halev, that should be b'makim, the giving of tzedakah. What he put into the box. And by the Rabbeinu Shalom, that's really what counts. You know, he had that heart, he had the nedivas halev. That's the kolish Hashem benu aslibay tikkus dramasi. By Hashem tikkus the nedivas halev. The gold and the silver is just an outer manifestation of our our wanting to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kalish Hashem Yidvenu Eslibut. I saw a beautiful pshat. Rashi says over here, the Yichru Li Truma, Zok Rashi, Li Lishmi. That sounds what I'm about to say, like a Chassidish of Art, which is fine. But this is said by the Shaloh HaKadosh, and based on the Shaloh HaKadosh, the Chavos Yoyer says a pshat based on this, which is a hafladik thing. What does it mean, V'yikhu li lishmi? There's a meridik Shaloh HaKadosh that says that in the giving of the mitzvah of tzedakah, you have the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the Shechin is with you when you give tzedakah. How? The coin that you give is daimi to a yud. It's a little, you know, daimi to a yud. The hand is five fingers. That's a hey. When the ani stretches out his hand, that's a vav. And he opens up his hand, that's another hey. So you have yud kei, vav kei, and the mice of the giving of tzedakah. So that's what the Shaloh HaKadosh says. In every giving of tzedakah, when you go over to an ani and you give him tzedakah, the coin is the yud, the hand is five is hey, he stretches out his hand as another vav, and you put it in his hand as another yud kei vav kei. So that the Chavos Yoyer says, that's why it's so important that you shouldn't hide yourself from tzedakah. You should pursue the ani, not the ani pursues you. If you pursue the ani, then the yud kei vav kei is in the right order, like we just said. But if the ani has to come after you, and he first stretches out his hand, it's the vav kei comes first, and then your yud kei, so it's out of order. The pasuk says, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, ki tzadik Hashem, Hashem is a tzaddik, tzedakah is ohev, he loves tzedakah, yosher yechzeh fanemoy, you should see his face straight. In other words, give tzedakah in a way that the Shem Hashem comes out straight, the yud kei comes mitzad you, and then afterwards the ani stretches out his hand above kei. But if the ani comes to you first and you don't pursue him, it's out of order, it's not yechzeh fanemoy, it's not Yishorim, Yosher Yevzeh Panayman. So the Chavos Yoyer says, Rav Yor Bacharach, he says, that's right over here, B'yikholi Lishmi. Give it in a way that my name comes out straight. That you have a Yud K, Vav K. If you give it in such a way, that is the way, and you pursue it, that is the way to be kind, the mitzvah tzedakah in the highest form. Those are the Chavos Yoyer, based on a Shavuot HaKadosh. But it's a pelataka. Every time a person gives tzedakah, the shame Hashem is nikrolov. It's a pelataka thing. The pasuk says about the orin, v'tzipisa eisoy zohav tar, you should cover it with pure gold, mi bayesu michus titzapenu, from the inside and the outside you should cover it, v'asisa olav zer zohav sadeh, and you should make on it a gold crown surrounding it. The Gemara in the Masechtas Yuma Daf Ayin Beis Amid Beis says, "Mibayisu michus titzapenu." What does this represent? Amar Rava, Rava says, "Kol Talmud Chacham she'ein oitoychei kibarei." Any Talmud Chacham whose inside is not like his outside is not considered a Talmud Chacham. Some people, they give an impression on the outside like the big tzaddikim, but on the inside they're not really so pure. There's some people are hepech. Some people that on the inside are big tzaddikim, but on the outside they look like tough people and rough people. You don't see it on the outside. Chazal say a person should be toichoi kibarei, gold on the inside and gold on the outside. So the Alta tells the Rav, asks a question. So why is the middle made out of wood? A person should be gold through and through. Like why is it that the orein, which is supposed to be the symbol of a Talmud Chacham, why is the middle made out of wood? So he says, Amari the Kipshat. He says, Kolzman, a person is human with a physical body. It's impossible to be totally gold. It's impossible to be totally perfect. Because the fact that he's a human, the fact that he has a Yetzirah, and the fact that he has physical needs, and the fact that he has his different midas, that makes it that he can't be perfect on the inside. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not expect us to be malachim. Now, what does he want? We should do things with the kavana tahira, and we should do things on the outside. We should set an example for people. That's toicha kibara. But for a person to leave his physicality totally and to be like a malach? No, that's not, because Baruch Hu doesn't expect that from us. Because be'etzem, the fact, kol zman, we're in a human guf, it's impossible that a person should shed that physicality. And adrabah v'adrabah, that is really the source of our growth. If we'd be totally golem, if a person would be able to do that, we'd be like total robots. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates us with our physical limitations. He creates us with our physical needs. He creates us with our physical regoshim. And we're supposed to develop that into gold on the inside and gold on the outside. But he doesn't expect us to be malachim. It's a famous word from the Kotzker. Kotzker says, Ba'anshe Kodesh Tiyun Li. I don't expect you to be malachim. Malachim have plenty in Shemayim. Have myriads of malachim in Shemayim. Ba'anshe Kodesh. I want you to be people that are holy. People. Human beings, but holy. And that's really embodied with the Orin. In the middle, it's wood. And that wood represents the person. His physical regoshim. You have to coat that with gold on the inside and gold on the outside. As I said, the Alta tells a Rav. Pasuk says, Va'asisa es hakroshim la mishkan. You should make the boards for the mishkan. Atzei shitim oindim. Cedar wood that is standing. Hakroshim, the crushim. It doesn't just say crushim. You should make boards. Hakroshim. The Torah is talking about specific crushim. So Rashi says, which specific crushim are we talking about? May oisin oindim umiyuchadim. Those that were set aside for this purpose. Yaakov Avinu, he planted cedar trees in Mitzrayim. And before he was Nifter, he commanded the Bnei Yisrael to bring them up from Mitzrayim, through the Midbar, all the way to Eretz Yisrael, and they would be used for the Mishkan. So you have to understand, like, why did Yaakov Avinu have to plant the cedar trees in Mitzrayim himself? And he had to tell the Bnei Yisrael to bring them up to Eretz Yisrael. You know, why couldn't it just be that Yaakov Avinu tells them, when you're ready to go out of Mitzrayim, you should cut down cedar trees from Mitzrayim. Like, why do there have to be special cedar trees? What makes this even more interesting is that Yaakov Avinu was not the first one to plant these trees. There's a Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah. Vayisa Yisrael, v'chol ha'shaloi. When Yaakov Avinu traveled from Eretz Yisrael, so first he didn't go straight to Mitzrayim. Vayavi be'erishova, he went to Be'erishova. Where did he go in Be'erishova? Amar Rav Nachman, he went to cut down the cedar trees that Avram Avinu had planted for the purpose of the Mishkan. And Yaakov Avinu took this when he went down to Mitzrayim. He replanted them, they grew, and then he commanded the Bnei Yisrael to take it. Why these special cedar trees? Why couldn't it just be any old cedar tree? So there's different pshatim that are said. I think I once spoke about this. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says the pshat in Emes Liankiv, when Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, he was very afraid. Here he was in Eretz Yisrael. He finally reached Eretz Yisrael after all those years with Lavan. He's here in Eretz Yisrael and he's enjoying the kedusha of the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guys are on him. He has to go down to Mitzrayim. He's very much afraid. He was afraid he's going to leave Mitzrayim and he's never going to come back and his children will get stuck in Chutz Laaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to promise him, Altira Yaakov, don't be afraid. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim and I will bring you back up again. I'll bring the Bnei Yisrael back up. But Yaakov Avinu was afraid. And Yaakov Avinu did not want the Bnei Yisrael to forget that they're only here temporarily and that eventually they're going to get out of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov Avinu, if he just would have commanded them, you know, when you leave Mitzrayim, I want you to cut down cedar trees. So that would have been a command, but that wouldn't have really a big effect on them. This is why Yaakov Avinu took special trees that Avraham Avinu had planted for the purpose. And he replanted it in Mitzrayim. And everybody knew that these were the special trees that one day they're going to leave Mitzrayim or one day they're going to build a Mishkan somewhere. Whether it's in the Midbar, whether it's in Eretz Yisrael. And they knew that these were these trees. And they used to pass by these trees. And they were able to see b'chush how these trees were growing. And a father would tell his son, these are the trees that we are going to use for the Beis HaMikdash. This would give the Bnei Yisrael hope that they shouldn't fall into a matzav of yish, they shouldn't fall into a situation of despair. And this was the siman to them that eventually they're going to leave Mitzrayim and eventually they're going to build a makom for the Shkina. That was the purpose why Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to keep the hope alive amongst the Bnei Yisrael. When the Torah speaks about the Oren, the Torah says, "B'tabois ha'oren yihyu habadim." The poles that were used to carry should remain in the rings. Lo yosuru mimenu. The poles are never allowed to leave these holes. The Gemara in Masechtas Yuma, the fine Bezom and Aleph says, Hameser by the Orein, if somebody removes the poles of the Orein, loike he gets malchus. You're over on a lav if you remove the poles from the Orein, which means not only were the poles with the Orein while they were being carried, even when the Orein was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was in its place, the poles were still there. What was the purpose of that? Or why taka were they left there? So the Chofetz Chaim says, Amar the Kibshat. Chofetz Chaim says that the Orein, the Badei HaOrein, the poles of the Orein, they represent those people that support Torah. The people that carried the Orein on their shoulders, they carried it with the Badim. So the Badim represent the people that support the Torah. The people that support the Torah, not only are they going to be together with the Talmidei Chacham down here supporting them, where they need their support. When the Talmidei Chacham no longer need their support, they're going to be together with the Talmidei Chacham. So that's the shot over here. The Badim, not only were they together with the Luchais while they were carrying the Luchais, but even after the Luchais were resting in their place, the Badim still were side by side with the Aron. And that's done to those that support the Torah. Those that support the Torah, not only are they at the side of the Talmud Chacham down here, when the Talmud Chacham no longer needs the support, he's up there being the enemies of Ashkina, those that supported the Torah will be next to the Talmud Chacham. So the Chidoy asks a question, B'shem his father. He says, that's not such a good thing. They'll be up there talking and learning, and then Mama's talking about Rashbis and Tzitzachoshins and Kabbalah. But the fellow that didn't really learn much down here, he was busy working all the time, it's going to be Gehenna for him up there. So, Chofetz Chaim says this, and others say the same thing. Shema Mina, that a person that supports the Torah will be taught the Torah equal to the Talmud Chacham. And all those ideas that the Talmud Chacham got because he supported the Talmud Chacham, those hasagas in Torah will be given over to the one that supported him. Mamash shavu b'shavu. And the Chofetz Chaim says it was like that, the Marshal, when Klal Yisrael used to go out to war. So there were people that went out on the battlefield, and there were people left behind to take care of all of the nechasim, all of the properties that they left behind. At the end of the war, when they took the spoils of the war, they shared it equally. Why? Because they did something which was very important as well. If they wouldn't be left behind to take care of the property of those who went out to war, they wouldn't be able to go out to war. So at the end, they equally shared the spoils of war. So it's the same thing with the Hasagas, with the Limudim up in Shemayim. If not for those that supported the Torah, the Talmidei Chacham would not be able to go out to fight the battles of Torah. So at the end, when it comes to share in the Tainug of learning, they're going to have an equal portion of the timing of learning with the Talmidei Chacham. Reb Chaim Volozhin has said over Amar the Gemaisa, there was a big gvir, wealthy man that supported the yeshiva. Before he was nifter, he asked Reb Chaim if he could learn Mishnayis for him. Lachan Eves Mishana, could he learn Mishnayis Li'ilui Nishmasa? So of course Reb Chaim said he would. The fellow was nifter. Reb Chaim learned Mishnayis. It wasn't like, you know, we learn Mishnayis, we daven it up, and Reb Chaim learned it as a be'iyun. So one day he's learning a Mishnah, Le'ilu Mishmah is this person, and he had like a whole bunch of kashas on the Mishnah, he couldn't make heads and tails on it. And he fell asleep by the Mishnayis. This fellow comes to him in a dream, and he teaches him over the Mishnah, and he answers up all of the kashas that Reb Chaim had. Till he plunged. So Chaim woke up and he told us over to someone. He says, I knew that this is what happens, but that it works so quickly that when I'm learning the Mishnah, he already knows all the questions on it and the answers to it. That to him was a pella. But that's the lesson that the Chofetz Chaim and others take, that they will never, ever be taken away from the Aron. Not when they carry the Aron, but even when the Aron rests and it doesn't need their support anymore, they will always be by the side of the Aron. Agudin Shabbos.
Next week there's no
Shabbos. Next week, no. Freilich and Purim, everybody. Freilich and Purim.